listen carefully. In there are deep mysteries on this earth, spiritual mysteries. The earth is shrouded in mysteries that I constantly am obsessed with as a teacher. And there are mysteries, things that are so deep in scripture that the Bible says in Isaiah 29 verse 11, take me there. Isaiah 29 and verse 11. Can I take my time? Okay. It says, and the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed. Now, this scripture is talking about a book that is sealed. Okay? He's saying the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned. So this book is delivered to men that are learned, studied, theologians, people who have gone to school, learned men. It's delivered to them. And scripture says, saying, read this, I pray thee. And the learned man says, he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. So a learned man is taken a book that is sealed, and scripture says, they tell him to read it, and he can't read it. Why? Because it is sealed. The next verse, extremely important, says, and the book is delivered to him that is not learned. So not only the learned person, but even the person who is not learned. And it says, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I'm not learned. So even he cannot read it. And I want you to understand that this mystery here is actually the depth to mysteries in the spirit world, to how people think they understand godly things, but you can look and look and not see. When the Bible says here that they are sealed, they're not sealed necessarily with something physical. Yeah? They are sealed with a mystery. And that's why I say that it is possible for a man to walk this earth with God, live, okay, I don't know. I'm wondering what to tell you and what not to. There are three anointings, three levels of anointing, three. The first level of anointing is an anointing you enter when you become a believer. It's an anointing that you get as a result of an action of having entered the body of Christ. The second level is an anointing that comes as virtue of the office that you stand in. If a person stands in the fivefold, if they stand in an office, there is an anointing that they carry. Please understand that that anointing is irrespective of who the man is or whether they have intimacy with God or not. As long as they stand in the office, they can stand before you and operate and you feel the anointing. Even when they have no intimacy with God, by virtue of the office. That is upon a man. The third level of anointing is an anointing that comes upon a man when he has discerned the moves of God in a season. Extremely, extremely important. Once you have discerned God's move, now there are global moves of God, then there are individual moves of God in your lives. You with me? If you discern correctly the move of God in your life, there's a certain level of anointing you can tap into that people can't explain. Now please understand that if a person stands in the office, there's an anointing he'll have, but if he has not discerned the move of God in a season, there'll be a limit to what he can do. The man of God will stand before you, bless you, but you walk away like there's something missing. Because you see, there are moves of God in a season. By the way, I'm starting slowly, but we're going into deep things, eh? There are five elements, albeit six in the spirit, five elements, albeit six in the spirit, that originated in the spirit realm and were borrowed by this world. There are five elements that existed in the spirit world and were borrowed by this world. The first is fire. Fire existed in the original world, the spirit world. We borrowed it. The second is water. Water existed in the original world. We borrowed it. That's why if you look in Genesis chapter 1, water doesn't seem to be created. The Bible says the Spirit hovered over the waters. It doesn't even say, and God said, let there be water. Okay? water is borrowed. Light was borrowed from the other world. I wish I could go deeper. Sound was borrowed from the other world. I'm going to touch these things as simply as I can. Sound was borrowed from the other world. Lastly, words were borrowed. Words were borrowed from the spirit world. Now let me say something, and I always tell people that words in the spirit originally were never meant to be for communication. Communication is secondary. The primary concern of words is creation. Praise the Lord. The primary concern of words is creation. Now, it's very important you understand that. The Bible says the power of life and death lies in the tongue. That means there's no such thing as neutral words. They're either words of death. A person can come and say happy birthday. Someone can come and say happy birthday. Because words first go through your heart before they come out of your mouth. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. Okay? There are no such thing as neutral words. They're either words of life or words of death. What I'm telling you is true. Eh? Now, when a person speaks, oh God, I don't know how far I can go with this. Because I have so many things flooding my mind. When a person speaks, a person can speak words, but they are absent of spirit. Now, let me tell you about a minister. A minister can stand here, speak, and people get motivated, inspired, but not changed. Huh? Motivated, inspired, but not changed. In the Bible, when a person speaks words of spirit on purpose, it's called utterance. Amen. Paul says, doors of utterance have been opened unto me. Amen. That means it takes a certain level of knowledge to know when you're speaking spirit. The Bible says, I think it's Acts 2:37, it says of Peter that when he spoke, the people that listened to him were pricked in their hearts, not their minds. Now, let me tell you a secret. Can I get 5 people? Quickly. I'm not imparting, eh? Okay. Alright. Listen to me carefully, eh? According to scripture, by the way, what I'm teaching here is extremely important for you. And if I bore you, you'll be fine. Today, if I bore you, you'll be fine. Now, before you came onto this earth, everything that you were supposed to do on this earth was predetermined in the spirit world. And I don't have time to dwell on that. You go and look at it. When you came on this earth, amongst us here, there were people who were ordained the fivefold according to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. Some were pastors, teachers, evangelists, prophets, and apostles. Eh? Okay? Now, those who did not fall in the fivefold were also given some ordinations. Now, what I'm going to say here is extremely important. Eh? Now, the moment you came onto this earth, purpose initially begins the moment you give your life to Christ. Before that, everything is trying to lead you to purpose. Yeah. You get born again. Then now everything around you there is built to try to bring you to the awareness of who you are in Christ Jesus. Now, many people don't know this about the fivefold, so I'm going to tell you. There are 5, eh? Okay. The pastor, quick study. Eh? The pastor has an unction upon him. The unction, and please understand that these fivefold, the fivefold have different sights in the spirit. They see things differently. The way they discern and perceive things is different. the way they read scripture is different and the way they interpret it is different. But the body is supposed to be one. So each is supposed to contribute to ensure that you're equipped. Amen. Now, the pastor has what we call oversight. Amen. He has an oversight action on him. He's what you call a shepherd in the spirit. There are good shepherds, but there are also bad ones. When you find a man who leads a beautiful lady to Christ, but then rapes her, he knows about salvation, but God has not dealt with him.
Okay.
So, we have a pastor here. The pastor is the heart of God. When everyone else is speaking, and they're teaching you in your life, everyone is speaking. The pastor will come and tell you that yes, your marks can be written, and your name can be written on the campus list. But read. He'll tell you, yes, there's an inner beauty, but dress properly. You won't hear that from these other chaps, by the way. I'm talking about in relation to emphasis and nature. The pastor is an oversight. He creates balance. He might seem unspiritual to many people, but his role is extremely important. Pastors usually have a natural gift of healing in their tongues. When they speak, your mind is healed. People often confuse them for counselors. Those are pastors. Those are shepherds in spirit. We have teachers. Teachers have their role, and the role that they have is extremely important, because if pastors are oversight, teachers are insight. Now, remember what I said is that they all have different sights in the spirit. A pastor has an oversight, a teacher has insight in relation to scripture. So when he looks through scripture, the desire of a teacher is to found you and create understanding in relation to the will of God. So the concern of a teacher is your walkings and your workings daily with God. Daily. Teachers are led to preserve truth. Preserve truth. That's why I told you all these fivefold, I've taught this before, that all these fivefold have spirits that attack them. The spirit that attacks a teacher is one of false doctrine. Okay, so the teacher will speak, and the desire, the spirit that is upon him is the spirit of understanding. He has insight, and I'm really summarizing this. This is not conclusive because of time, it's a summary. We have an evangelist. The purpose of an evangelist, while the pastor has oversight, the teacher insight, the evangelist has what I call hindsight. Hindsight meaning they always look back to the cross. Amen. The evangelist's burden is always to remind you, don't forget what Christ did. Amen. He's very, very important, and that's where his burden falls. Amen. And so he will sit in a congregation, and his burden will always be, people have forgotten Jesus died on the cross. Always to bring you back and say, remember this, because this is the heartbeat of your life. Amen. Okay? Quick summary. This is a prophet. The prophet, let me dwell a little on this one. The prophet, while the pastor has oversight, the teacher insight, the evangelist hindsight, the prophet has foresight. Amen. His focus is always on tomorrow. Yes. The prophet is always the most persecuted, because he brings a message of tomorrow, today. He always looks weird and strange, because he's talking to people whose minds are focused on today, about tomorrow. Amen. Prophets, even in the Bible, the most persecuted, the most killed. because people are focused on today. The prophet operates, the heavier the mantle on the prophet, the weirder he is. The stranger he appears. People won't understand what he's doing. They'll look at him and say, what's this guy doing? Prophets appear very weird. Then we have an apostle. The apostle, out of all these, is the most misunderstood. Because everyone thinks they know what the apostle is, but they don't know. Now, most people would know that the apostolic has the nature to capture all these four. But every apostle has an inclination to one office more than the others. Okay? They can operate in all the other four, but they have an inclination. So you'll find an apostle who has an inclination to teaching. Another who has an inclination to evangelism. Now the apostolic, while the prophet has foresight, yes, the apostle has long sight. His focus is always the eternal. In other words, it's not just about things of today. Remember, you need to have relevance even in eternity. Amen. The message of the apostle is extremely interesting because the burden upon him is not just preaching or teaching. He's focused on what we call spiritual boundaries. God always gives him a territory, and the territory that he has, he wants it to be saturated with the move of God at that time. Amen. That's the depth of an apostle, Amen. The depth that he has. When a prophet says, I see a revival, it's the apostle who says the revival has come.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Now, by the way, I never thought I would ever teach this stuff. Yeah? But it's important. Eh? You get this. Eh? And I'm really summarizing this. But all these five, according to scripture, irrespective of what you might think, none is higher than the other. They're all supposed to work together, and they're all supernatural, all supposed to work together for the equipping of the saints.
Amen. Amen.
Are you with me? Okay, you can have your seats. Eh? Now, I want you to understand that in the spirit world, there's a reason why I brought these ones, and I'm going to explain it. In the spirit world, there are languages, voices, and words. The language of the Spirit that we see in the Bible has been condensed so that we can understand it. But it's much deeper than you can ever imagine. So when John says he sees a man with bronze feet, it's being described in your language, but it's much deeper than bronze feet. When he sees a man with white hair, it's being described in your language, but it's much deeper than white hair. Okay? Usually when God brings a man on this earth, there are what we call dealings, the dealings of God with a man. The dealings of God with a man means that God will put surroundings and things around that man that will shape that person until Christ is seen in the person. Some of those dealings, some of them people think the enemy has brought their way, when it's God actually orchestrating something to get you to a place. Now I'm trying to be very simple, but it's true. Now, please understand that I said there are languages, and I explained that languages in the spirit are very various, but the language, the Bible that we have, has been condensed for us so that we can understand. There are voices in the spirit. The Bible says the blood of Abel speaks. Blood has a voice. Okay? Finances have a voice. Ecclesiastes 10:19 says money answers all things. The International Standard Version, I think, says money speaks to everything. Money has a voice. Finances have a voice. There's a part of scripture, and I tell you the mysteries in the Bible. The Bible says in Revelations 4:5, John is caught up in the spirit. He's standing before a throne. And scripture says he sees lightning thunders coming out of the throne and voices coming from out of the throne. Voices. What voices are those? I thought only Jesus or God sits on the throne. He says, I saw, and out of the throne proceeding lightning, thunderings, and voices from inside the throne.
Amen.
Guys, don't know where I'm going with this, but we shall reach there. There are voices in the spirit, then there are words. Please understand that when John came, John the Baptist, according to scripture, John the Baptist, the Bible refers to him as a voice in the wilderness. He did not say, please understand, the element there is that it's not about who I am, it's about what I'm saying. Now, the reason why I'm saying that is that you need to understand the world of words and how your world is shaped by the words that you speak, especially when they're spirit, and how a man of God that you stand before can speak into your life and nothing happens. Another man can speak and something happens. There's a rule in the spirit that until God has dealt with a person, they can't do what we call ministry in a particular area. They can preach, but they cannot minister. Okay, so I can come and say, Jesus loves you. The Bible says, and I preach and you all shout, go back changed. A man who is a liar cannot minister to liars. Okay, let me take it deeper. A man who's struggling with lying cannot get you to change from lying. A man who's struggling with stealing cannot get you to change from stealing. That is what ministry is. Ministration is transformation. So I can preach, but not be ministering. Titus chapter 1 verse 3. I love this scripture. It's talking about preaching, but what it's actually meaning is ministration. It says, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching. There is a manifestation that can happen through speaking. There is a problem when a person comes, speaks with his heart and says, you guys, the Lord loves you. What? People sit there, they shout, go back and do whatever it is that they were doing. There is a problem with the words that come out with that man's heart because God hasn't dealt with him. And this is actually the secret to authority in the spirit. That God often will first deal with you in an area, and once it's sorted, when you speak, men change. Let me tell you the truth, eh? If you look through the Bible, if you look through this Bible that you've written, the Bible says, in the Old Testament, the word of God would come to people, men of God. It would come. The word would come. That's why men would say, the word of God came to me saying. So the word would come. A man had no right to give his opinion. He would speak what God said, and that's it. The moment he had his opinion, in the Old Testament, you were in danger of death. With the exception of a few men. In the New Testament, when Jesus came, now please understand it, that God, when man fell, God always wanted to show his attributes to man. So one way to teach men is through nature. Romans chapter 1 from verse 20. So God says, look at the trees, look at the clouds, look at everything, and you'll understand. The Bible says in Psalms 19, the day unto day they speak. The clouds, the sun, the moon, all these things speak. They utter speech. So God is teaching you through nature. But nature was limited because it did not have a human element. You don't understand the language of trees. Yes? You just look at a tree and not understand what it's saying. And yet the Bible says that when Jesus came, salvation was for all creation, not just you. That scripture messes me up. Colossians 1. It says this gospel was preached to all creation. So, creation has something that it speaks to us. But because there's a barrier in language, God had to use human language, human being, to bring his word across. So what does he do? He sends Jesus in form of a man. When he sends Jesus in form of a man, the entire time Jesus was on earth, the Holy Spirit was not in any other man. I'm telling you frankly, that's why when Jesus is on earth, you don't see someone else saying, the Lord has told me. John says he must decrease as increase. The moment Jesus was anointed like this, he was the word. God was not speaking through anyone else. never nine. I think I've stepped on some toes. So he dies, resurrects. When he dies and resurrects, please understand that the moment Jesus died and resurrected, before even he died, the Word was flesh. That means what Jesus felt, what Jesus said, what Jesus gave as opinion was Word. What Jesus did was Word. The purpose of that was to ensure that men, the fivefold here, ministers, when they came, when God has dealt with them, a man can reach a place where he gives his opinion and it's actually God. He can feel sorrow and it's God speaking. That's why the Bible says godly sorrow. One. Godly sorrow leads to repentance. Godly sorrow leads to repentance. Guys know their scripture, eh? Praise the Lord. You're with me? Now, when God is dealing with men, not just the fivefold, but even with you, there are things that he does in your life. There are things that you will go through so that you can be shaped, so that you can be what the Bible refers to as a living epistle. Jesus said in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he says to his disciples, go ye out and be witnesses unto me. He doesn't say be witnesses of what I've done. He says witnesses unto me. That means there's a secret that every man who goes out to minister on behalf of Christ must have.